You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? Welcome to the Ununited State of the World. I'm Monique Leray. You might have seen me on the startup here with LA Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to have another segment, another block with LA Talk. I'm joined by two of my dearest. I have Jay Heckendorn-Talinda and Francis Vigors. And we are coming to you from many different places in the world, talking about today's issues, all the things you're fighting about on Facebook and Twitter, all the things that you want to address. We're going to do it. We're going to have a banter. We're going to make some noise, but we'll end the day cheersing each other and having respect. So let's get into the intros. Mr. Jay Heckendorn-Talinda, tell the people who you are.
My name is Jay. And I'm a 35-year veteran in the real estate mortgage business. I work for the government and private banks. And so it's been real estate development, mortgage banking, defaulted notes, and a lot of economics.
Fantastic. Tell everybody where you're from. Give us, you know, let's get the audience to get to know Mr. Talinda here. So tell them where you're from and, you know, where you live now and a little bit about your world travel, if you don't mind.
Okay. So I started in the business in 1989. I'm from Los Angeles, California. And then I represented banks, national banks, and therefore I became bi-coastal and lived in New York and Connecticut. Then was transferred down to Dallas and then up to Switzerland and then back down to Dallas and over to Florida, which is where I reside now. I'm in a suburb called Windermere, Florida, which is outside of Orlando. I manage 26 states for different banks. And my job is to manage their workouts. So if they have defaults, and right now I'm busy working on selling off a lot of the properties that were purchased by the hedge funds back in the recession, the last recession. And then I have commercial real estate business, which is obviously a very touchy point right now. And in that a lot of these commercial buildings are vacant and we must refinance them and repurpose them. So again, I'm Jay Heckendorn and that's my story.
Why the Talinda? I've never met a man that has a hyphenate name. Did you take your wife's last name? Explain that.
So that's actually a very funny story. I was born Heckendorn. I am German. And my stepfather, I had retired back in 2004. And my stepfather stole my identity. And his name was Jay Talinda. I went back to in 2009, and when I went, so I had come back from Switzerland, my billfold was stolen, and in my billfold was my social security card and everything. So when I went to work again, they said, hey, that doesn't match up. And I said, well, what do you mean? Here's my birth certificate, my marriage license, my tax returns. It's always
right.
Been, and it turned out that my stepfather had stolen my identity without my knowing it because I was retired. I did not have any need for credit. My houses were paid off. My cars were paid off. I didn't use credit. So I had no reason to check that. And they said the only way we can fix it is to now burden you with a 17-letter last name. Thankfully, my birthday is very easy. It's just Jay. But I am burdened with a very long last name, and everybody messes it up. I get Heckendork, Heckendorf, Heckenborn. I mean, you name it. Nobody in America is phonetic. It's just a German name. It's very phonetic, but we don't teach phonics anymore in the United States for some reason. And so my name gets butchered every way you can think of. It is better than a Ginsu knife. I mean, seriously, they just chop it up.
Well, thank you for sharing that very interesting story, and that makes another piece of the puzzle make sense about you. And as the listeners and viewers get to know you, how I know you and how Frances knows you, they're going to just add that to why they love you. So Frances Vigors, or Vigor, or did I butcher your name?
Well, Vigors is how they say it in France, but Vigors in the UK, yeah.
Vigors, yeah. Vigors, oui, oui. Well, Vigors, France is on the list. Okay, well, France is our topic on the show today, but let's get your intro. Tell us about yourself. Let the listeners and viewers know a little bit about you.
Yeah, sure. Well, I went to naval school, which is a very strict school, training you essentially to go into the Navy. That was the logical next step. I didn't actually go that way. I kind of like had enough of the discipline. Went to college and studied computer science and art. My parents are both artists. I quite like computer science. And from there, I actually went into a state agency, so I didn't actually use computer science. And they weren't using computers in a state agency at that point. Everything was kind of like the old Rolodex, you know, kind of thing. It was all paper. Paper-based, mm-hmm. and photocopying details and mailing stuff out. I worked there in that industry for a couple of years, and then at 19 bought a masonette above a shop, which was three floors, and I got planning permission to turn it into three flats, and that was my first property development as such. So I carried on doing that over the years, getting involved with other people, doing bigger deals, which they finance. It's obviously a very capital intensive business. And in between recessionary periods, I actually started to run a car garage, buying and selling used cars. So it was just something to do that was outside of the property industry, which was on its knees here in the UK. People were in negative equity for a 10-year period at one point. Mm-hmm. State agency was, you know, terrible. I mean, property prices fell for 4 years on the trot at one point, and they were in negative equity for 10. So, yeah, you know, property doesn't always go up, right? Of course, everyone working in the property industry currently that are younger than me, they haven't seen anything like that. So, you know, maybe they'll get to experience something like that, you know. We'll just have to wait and see how it pans out. You know, is this time different? I don't know. Maybe not. We'll see, won't we? But,
That's where I am. Sorry to cut you off there, Frances. That's a very good dive into your business. However, you're not going to get away with it. We want to know a little bit more about your personal life, and I want the viewers and listeners to connect with you. So please share what you're comfortable sharing. You don't have to give your address out like Jay just did, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I have a 17-year-old daughter who's lovely girl, really nice. So, yeah, I am a parent. Sadly, we're not a family unit anymore, so I'm a parent from afar, but never too far away. So that gives me another consideration in my life. Always, you know, when you're a parent, you always have to think about your child, and that I think that also leads you on to question what's going on in the greater world around you, even more so because it's not just about you. You know, the present may be about you, but the future will be about them. And I think, you know, that then becomes a deep rooted concern. And I think, definitely.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And as you guys can see, I'm the loud mouth of the crew, but Jay is a close second. I think Jay might outrun me on some of these topics, but we'll see. Here at the Un-United State of the World, we are going to talk about everything. We are not leaving anything off the table, okay, guys? And guess what? You can come here and feel safe. You can come here with your different opinions. I want us to go across. I'm going to just give my short bio in case anyone wants to hear it. If you haven't seen me on the startup, I'm Monique Lorray Stinson. Lorray is short for Lorraine, and Lorray sounds better. I am a TV producer, and I have been on the podcast, The Startup, for 5 years. I'm currently getting my MBA at Pepperdine for business. I do promo videos. documentary films, and I've been in the reality TV genre for 24 years and helped build that genre. I got two Emmys. I received two Emmys for my work on Christina's Court on Fox Networks. And I am currently finishing the world's first doc trilogy, independent, without a conglomerate, that we went to 40 countries and 20 cities around the world during the pandemic to talk to people. It was a time capsule. I was completely rogue. And I live here in Southern California with my English, I was going to say French bulldog, but my English bulldog, Winston Capone, who I adopted last year. And I met these gentlemen on my journey for the film. And I'm just grateful to have them here to bring their opinions. All right, let's jump into it. Now that we know a little bit about each other, guys, did you see the headline about the Olympic opening ceremony? If you did, I would love to hear your thoughts. Some Christians were offended by the opening ceremony. I'm offended that it was 4 hours. I don't know if they were doing 1 hour every year that it happens. It's fucking 4 hours long. Holy smokes. What did you guys think about the opening ceremony, and was it disrespectful to Christians? Jay, why don't you take
it? Well, here's my take on it. I believe everybody should have a voice. And I believe that whatever somebody does to themselves and whatever fetishes they may or may not have, that's up to them. That's their right. Okay. But everything must come with respect. So I was raised, my grandmother was Catholic, my stepmom was Jewish, my mom was Jehovah's Witness. I got the whole, one of my best friends is Muslim, and I read the Quran. Like, I've done that. And
you got the whole enchilada.
And the cool part about that is it gives you insight to different people's perspectives, what they're raised, what's ingrained with them when they grow up, what are the expectations, because different cultures, you raise children differently, right? Mm-hmm. You raise based on your values, your beliefs, whether it's beliefs socially or beliefs religiously, and a conglomerate of all of them. It is very important to understand, but you must show respect. Whether you agree or disagree, there is a respect that is obligated. And I believe that the more skilled you are, the more talent you have, the more educated you are, the greater the responsibility, the obligation. Because you do understand. And I think respect would alleviate a lot of the division and hostility and anger going on in the world today. So to see something that was so flagrant against one, right? We already have the war between Israel and Palestinians, right? And whether they're terrorists or not terrorists, and you know, who's invading what. It really boils down to a respect and understanding that I do not think the opening of the Olympics, I think, was more blasting and really shoving down the throat of somebody's agenda without a respect to other people. Francis, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've lived through the age of PC where you had to think about what you were going to say in case it wasn't politically correct. And yet here we see something, as you say, it's clearly blasphemous in many people's eyes. I think the Pope has even said that he's deeply saddened by the portrayal of the Last Supper. And I think it was definitely a portrayal of the Last Supper, because it was described as la scène sur la scène sur la scène. It's a play on words in French, and it's the scene of la scène, which is the Last Supper on the River Seine. So it's quite clearly was meant to be a depiction of the Last Supper, Leonardo da Vinci's painting of it in 1495. And it was even said that the head of the event said it was referencing the Last Supper. So it clearly was that. Yeah, I think very, very, very disrespectful. And it just seems odd that they that the body feels happy doing that at this point in time. To me, it just seems odd. I think you've got to ask yourself lots of questions about what's going on, why they did it, what are the real motives behind it. They just seem to be setting everybody against everybody, and this is just another example of trying to upset one large group of people by doing this, not upsetting another. But yeah. Monique, what are your thoughts?
Well, thanks for throwing it to me. I'm going to go ahead and be completely different here. I don't share this often, but I was raised as a born-again Christian, and people speaking in tongues and throwing. Okay, yeah, hallelujah. And throwing up in garbage bags and using the Lord and for everything. And I have shifted, as we know, we all grow. I'm so glad to be where I'm at today. I've been to 41 countries as of today. I've been to Paris, and I did not like it the first time. And the second and third, I did. I want to say I'm completely shocked that Christians are taking this moment to be offended. The Christians I know are worldly and well-rounded, and they aren't taking the bait. I think if you watched this ceremony and you watched it, because I watched it, it was a catwalk, guys. There was a DJ, and there was people being flagrant, very Parisian, very flamboyant. And you know what, America? Everything isn't about you, okay? And Christians, everything isn't about you. Not everybody's waking up to offend you. And there's other people, like Jay mentioned, there's other cultures in the world, other religions in the world. And not everybody signs up to your camp. I think American Christians miss the opportunity to show that Christ-like love and to say, hey, the Lord makes many different birds and he paints with many different colors.
Hold on. I'm going to stop.
Holding.
Right. Okay. And here's a simple answer to that one. Okay, there is a difference between expressing yourself and insulting somebody else intentionally. Now, we may say something. I'm not PC. Okay, fuck that. Get some thick skin. You're going to be good. But you must be respectful. And it's not about the Christians. Okay, because now there was a cross in the line on that one, where it wasn't just about religion, it was also about sexuality. It was about a lot of things going on in the world. And so we talk about DEI, right? That diversity.
Well, we're not going to get sidetracked. Let's stay on this because we're going to address that in the next show.
I'm not getting sidetracked.
Okay.
If you want to be inclusive, which is the point of what that opening was, mm-hmm. then you must be inclusive of all. Okay, it is. So tell me, when, what part of that segment, that 4-hour catwalk that you talked about?
Well, it's a 4-hour ceremony. Yeah.
When did it include any other religious beliefs or sexual identities? When was that included?
I'll answer that by saying in the 3 of the 4 hours, because I'm a busy person like you guys, I don't have 4 hours to just spend on this. I have to take it like a sandwich in bites. So I still have an hour left of the ceremony to watch, and I'll probably watch it after the Olympics is over. I saw 3 hours. I saw fire. I saw utilization of beautiful old buildings and monuments. I saw somebody flying in the sky. I saw building scaling. I saw a catwalk. I saw line dancing. I saw rock and roll with fire. I saw so many different elements that were represented. So you know what? I call bullshit on this. I don't think we should be offended. You Christians, why don't you stand up and say, we don't have thin skin. Not everything is for us to be gaslit about. Why don't you say, you know what? In this moment, this is a teachable moment. I can teach my children that there are different birds that God made in the world, and we don't all have to fly the same pattern.
Okay, and so voting to your point, now I'm going to call bullshit on you.
Because okay.
Why would they use the Last Supper other than a mockery? So explain.
Did you watch the segment? Did you watch the segment? Francis, chime in at any time. I watched the full catwalk. Last time I checked, at the Last Supper, there was supper, and there was Jesus. Not a DJ and not a catwalk. Last time I checked. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm the heathen on the show.
I'm saying, you know what wasn't at the Last Supper?
It was a catwalk. Was there a catwalk at the Last Supper?
Transgender with kids, by the way.
Is that the new edition of the Bible?
Oh, I guess so. I guess they're rewriting the Bible.
Guys. Well,
I'm going to chip in here. And like I said, I think it was called La Cena.
There was many different. I actually have it here. There was many different themes and there were many different names. Now, I want to tell you this. Thomas Jolly, guys, according to the AP, and I guess we can all agree, we have to also kind of let's make some disclaimers on what press we trust, right? Because I'm taking a journalism class right now with NYU, and I want to be a dependable journalist and be neutral, right? But I guess we all can agree that the AP, the Associated Press, is pretty neutral, right? According to the AP, Thomas Jolly, and you guys can Google this and fact check us, please do. He was the artistic director, and he said he is just trying to be inclusive and have fun with it. He had no agenda, and now there are death threats to the DJ, the lady that was DJing.
Would you expect him to say anything different? What do you think? Somebody's going to get on Global TV or put out an AP press and say, oh yeah, I meant to fuck with the Christians. Do you really think somebody's going to do that? Come on, man.
Okay, now if I'm coming from the perspective of people are coming from Christians, of course not. But when did we get so cynical we can't take who woke up in the morning and goes, you know what I'm gonna do today? I'm gonna fuck with the world. I'm gonna get death threats. I'm gonna fuck with the Christians and I'm gonna lose my job. I'm gonna lose my credibility. Who wakes up in the morning for that? Who does that?
Oh, that's called the President of the United States.
Guys, I think we have to keep a global view. Now, I'm going to call y'all. The reason why this is called the Un-United States is because Francis is from the UK, as you know. Jay lives in Florida. I'm in California. We are representing a lot of different things. And collectively, I'd say we have about 100 stamps on our passport. Would that be? I have 41. How many do you have, Jay?
37.
Okay. Francis?
I haven't counted.
Yeah, you probably have more than us.
Well, the trouble is, okay, a lot of mine are European, so, you know, they don't stamp it.
That's okay.
Not, just come.
Collectively, we have about 100 countries, okay? Yeah. All right. So with that being said, guys, you know, if you're in Paris.
Here's the funny part. So
what?
Do you think that opening was supposed to be satiric? A mockery? And I want to ask this, if it's satiric and we're all supposed to have thick skin, which we should, I agree with you, then how come in comedy clubs, comedians cannot actually make jokes? So, you know, back in the day, Jewish people, well, we bagels, right? We eat lox and bagels. Italian people, they're known for pizza, right? Black people, man, we like our fried chicken and waffles.
You better not say chicken and watermelon. I knew you were going to say it. I don't eat chicken anymore.
I can say that because I have interracial family. So I'm allowed to say it because I do it. I love my
don't
fried
see that is okay. Hold on. That is the number one thing that you can't say. You don't have to boat that. You don't have to floss there. Make your point, though.
So, saying is, when you go to a comedy club now, you cannot make these jokes without pissing people off, right?
Okay. Raise your hand if you actually saw it with your two eyes or your four eyes if you have glasses. Raise your hand if you actually saw it. Exactly. Okay. So we're going off people's word. These guys are busy guys. I'm not trying to put them on the spot. They have a right to their opinion. I want you to watch it for me. And I want us to revisit this because I would really like you to tell me where Jesus was, where the supper was, where the 12 disciples were, The lady had a DJ booth, and it was a catwalk.
Okay.
Where was it? Where was Jesus? Who was Jesus?
I don't know. Where was Jesus at?
What was the point of it?
The point was, we're dying. Okay, what was the point of the guys in the castle? What was the point of the guys in the castle playing the drums to fire and rock and roll? What was the point of the guys sliding down the thing? It was about being Parisian, artistic, different, just something to escapism. No. I don't think this person woke up that morning to offend Christians. I really don't. Guys, thank you for this. Last thoughts on this topic?
Hey, Francis, chime in here because Monique, I'll do my 10 seconds right now and say, look, none of the other shows went after a religious sector intentionally. None of the other shows, whether it's rock and roll or whatever, that did not attack a sector. Okay, Francis, your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they did it. What are they trying to achieve? The Last Supper is an image of the cohesion of the West in the last 2,000 years. It's the center of the church and community coming together to share food. I think the Pope got upset over it. So I think he saw it for what it was. And why are they doing it? What are they hoping to achieve? And what are they going to do next?
No, great question. And thank you for your opinions, guys. Here at the Ununited State of the World, we do not have to agree. That's what I love about our show. You can side with whomever you want, or no one at all, or nothing. Maybe it doesn't bother you. Maybe you're just trying to pay your bills. All right. Next up, we're going to talk about a little entertainment news. Are you guys down for a little entertainment news?
Oh, is that a yes?
Hit it. I'm not
no, you're not, or you are?
So, yeah, if you want to do it, yeah, sure.
I mean,
it,
you
yeah.
guys. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about a headline here. Bear with me, I'm going to pull it up. And here we go. Okay, let's see here. Let's talk about the Barbie movie. This is old. This is old. But Jay and I had a whole conversation in the car one day about this. So we're going to bring some old stuff to the Ununited State. Let's talk about the Barbie movie, because I know Jay's very passionate about it, and Francis has some thoughts. Go ahead, Jay.
She was just jealous because I look more like Ken.
it's true.
Like Barbie when we were kids, okay? She was just pissed.
I am definitely the melanated version of Barbie. Jay, I know you had some heavy thoughts about the Barbie movie a few months back. Actually, it's about a year ago. So this is old entertainment news. We can do something new in a moment. But give us a couple quick little thoughts on that.
Okay, so first off, disclaimer. I've never seen the Barbie movie. I've seen the trailers. My thought on that is it goes back to the bullshit about people trying to rewrite history. Okay? We learn from history. You don't rewrite it. Okay? And so when you try to rewrite history, you are depriving the next generations. So I call bullshit. Stop fucking rewriting history. Appreciate the history and how much we've progressed since then. Stop trying to manipulate iconic figures that are iconic for a reason. Okay, if you watch Bugs Bunny, Fred Flintstone, well, why did we make a new Fred Flintstone and put them in an EV car instead of the car with the stone wheels where they had to pat their feet and get the car going? Okay, you don't fucking do that. You learn from the past, appreciate it, and you make a new future. So rewriting the past is bullshit.
Francis, what say you about the Barbie debacle?
I didn't give it any attention. You have a daughter? Really? Yeah, sure. She wanted to go and see it, and I just went, oh, my God. I had Action Men, you know, one of three boys, didn't have a sister, didn't have Barbie dolls in the house. But, you know, we all know who Barbie and Ken are. Yeah, sure. But, yeah, I think Jay's right, rewriting past. I mean, ancient civilizations used to just erase other civilizations, if they didn't like them, they would kill or enslave all the people and then block by block dismantle their city to make sure that nobody ever knew they ever existed. And rewriting things is a little bit scary, really. I mean, you know, it's a bit like the Bible. Why was it rewritten, you know, multiple times? You know, kings used to rewrite things to suit themselves, you know, and rewriting history, yeah, very dangerous. I mean, at the moment, a lot of people like to go and buy old books, you know, because things are changing so fast, even definitions of words, that you need to go and buy an old book to really know what something actually originally meant and what it's meant to mean today. But because they're trying to rewrite history on the trot and reprogram everybody with what they're feeding us information-wise, withholding certain things and pushing other narratives, they're effectively trying to rewrite history. Yeah, and I think that's just an, yeah, that movie's just a little example. It's just one little piece in the jigsaw puzzle, I think.
Let me ask you. So, being German, well, we don't like to remember the 40s, right?
Ha! Well, hey, if we can
the 40s never existed. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. What do you mean, Hitler? What?
That now, part.
Hitler kind of wanted to rewrite history. Oh, because he thought that, and by the way, he had dark hair, but he thought everybody should be blonde and blue eyed, right? The irony to that is really funny. However, he wanted to take back genealogy and control that for a reason. And if somebody was too smart, they got exiled to Poland. And guess what happened? Oh, people started making Polish jokes, even though it was actually the Polish, many of them came from Germany, and they were actually the ones that challenged Hitler. So today, we are the Polish. And we are going to challenge the people that try to brainwash into thinking something needs to be one way and that history doesn't exist. That is okay. Not.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I think it's a very good point. But also, Hitler tried to, well, he successfully turned the population against one group of people as well. So I think you've got to be really careful that these mind games, these psyops, are not played out again, which you can see that they are. And society, as diverse as it's become today, needs some cohesion. People need to see a little bit further than just their immediate differences. And they need to see that the people need to come together and they need to change the information that's coming down to us, really. You know, they need to be aware of how they're being manipulated to behave in a certain way, which will not be beneficial to them or to any community or the country. You know, all it's going to do is divide and conquer for whoever's sowing these seeds of division.
Great points, gentlemen. And I never knew we would get to Hitler from a Barbie movie, but I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Guys, we're going to start our social media today. You're going to follow us on Instagram at the Un-United State of the World podcast. Make sure that you like and follow and subscribe. Make sure you share this. Let's get into the last topic today. I'm just going to throw this out at everybody. Oh, my light went out, but that's okay. We're still going. we've got backup, ladies and gentlemen. We've got backup. Oh, that's too bad. Okay. So let's get into... let's do a little something different here. I want to throw this to Francis because he's our resident UK gent, our Brit. Francis, talk to us about what's going on. You have about, you know, Jay's got 5 minutes, you've got 5 minutes. Give us 5 minutes of what's going on. What's a hot topic in the UK that maybe us Americans are missing?
I think the hot topic is burning buses and burning police cars, I think. People being arrested in what's being portrayed as outright rioting. A lot of protests kicked off across the country, primarily because of the murder of three young girls that were in a Taylor Swift dance and yoga class in the school holidays. A young boy went in there. I think he was 17 years of age. He's the son of two migrants that came from Rwanda. That's about all the information that I think I'm aware of. The police didn't want to initially release his name, although I think a judge did because there was some speculation about who he was. Yeah, there's been lots of protests up and down the country, really, about the huge amounts of migrants that are just entering the country illegally on boats, blow up dinghies coming from France. It's a people smuggling operation. They're paying anything up to $35,000 each to make the crossing. It's what I've heard. Quite a few of them, not all of them by a long shot, but quite a few have drowned over the years in the channel because it's quite a rough stretch of water, and they're making these crossings all year round. But yeah, in the summer months when the weather's a bit better, they get even larger boats. They're completely overloaded with very small engines because these rubber inflatables, ribs, they're just dumped. You know, once they're landed, they just get impounded and the value of the boat's gone. So they put a very small engine on it. They get the very longest ones that they can, and they put 60 to 80 people in an inflatable and then just set off across the channel. The French hand them over midway to the Navy, I think, border control, and then they're escorted safely back to the British shores, where they're immediately put into accommodation, given money. There's no plan to send them back to anywhere. You quite often don't know where they come from. They arrive with no paperwork. They're generally speaking young males, very few women and children now. They're all kind of like military-aged males that are coming over. And a lot of speculation as to why that is, what's going to become of it. Huge costs to the taxpayer here. I'm talking billions and billions of pounds a year, basically, to put them into accommodation. And in many communities, there's already not enough public services for the people that are in that area. So it's a huge strain on housing. There's not enough housing. There's not enough doctor surgeries. Not enough hospitals. Not enough police. Not enough anything. You know, just piling more and more and more people in. Yeah, and the questions are like, you know, what happens next? Because we've just got so many, and the flow is not stopping. What happens next? And the one politician that pointed this out, he was shouted down for. It was Nigel Farage. 4 years ago, he went into the channel with a boat, and he was filming these illegal migrants coming over with the people smugglers. And the mainstream media tried to close him down. They did their best to close him down, but he was very persistent. And then eventually, they had to pick up on it. And it's a national story now, and I think the murder of these three girls has brought it all to a head. This huge frustration over this issue, because the last government said that they were going to stop this, and they didn't. And the current government has just said we're not going to stop it. Yeah, just come on over.
this is heartbreaking to hear. And I know that you're laughing, but really, you have a daughter, and I know inside you're not laughing. And
I see it in my hometown. I see it on the streets. There's so many people sleeping rough now.
I want to throw it to Jay for a response here. But I want to just say to you, someone that's willing to pay $35,000 but do it illegally says they're definitely going to be dangerous. You know, it's like, why wouldn't you do the right thing? You've got the means. So what's the problem?
Monique, they don't have the money. This is credit. They're in debt to the people smugglers. So once they're here, they're in an organization where they're then captive.
I don't understand that. I thought you said it cost $35,000 to do it. Is that not the case?
Well, yeah, but they don't have the money. They have to pay them back over the years that they're working in the UK. You know,
it's on credit.
Is it on credit? Oh, yeah. Which means that they have an organisation here in the UK.
You know? Oh, my God.
The people smugglers have an organisation here to keep collecting the money from these people. And you know what it's like when you're in debt to people like that.
I was 10 years old when I learned that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Jay, what's for you?
You know, appalling.
It is
on every level.
expand on it, because the same thing's happening here in the U.S. And I'm going to put it real bluntly. When you open it up, it's okay for immigration. And why? Because what is a government based on? A government is based on their population and GDP. That's the end of the day. And how do you elect the politicians? Oh, that's called votes. So in the United States right now, they're fighting. There's a few bills out for illegal immigrants to be able to vote. I'm sorry, I can't go to any other country and make a vote. It doesn't work that way. Now they're pushing for people with children, that they should have more votes because they have children. That one I actually kind of agree with. But going back to Brett's point, when these people come across, why don't we first look at their countries? Why are they leaving their countries? What can we do to better help those governments so that those people don't want to leave? Because I promise you, I've got friends from all over South America. They're very proud from whatever country they come from, El Salvador, Guatemala, Venezuela, you name it. And they're proud of that. But yet they want to leave it. They want to leave it for a reason. Something is not going right there. Okay, and yet they bring their culture here, and there are people, many, many great people that want to be able to have opportunity because they're repressed where they're at. However, if you do not manage it right, which we have not, right now, the politicians are about getting more votes. That is all it is. However, you're opening the door for their cartels and the violent people. And yes, the mules, the people that bring people here. And guess what drive sex trafficking? What drives the cartels and the drug selling and the stomping down? It's because those people have to do it. Because if not, they will be killed. So they come here indebted the same way that Francis is. And we are then supporting. They're not here like back in the day when they went to Ellis Island and wanted to start their pizzeria or start a glass business or, you know, start a bakery or whatever they wanted to do. No, they come here indebted. They're basically mafia slaves. That's how that works.
Let me pause you there for a minute. We don't have much time, but we're going to go deep. We're going to give a whole show to this topic, but I'm glad you gentlemen teed it up and I learned something here just now. I wonder if the value of being here has gone up where people are now indebted to be here, because you mentioned Ellis Island where people came here to start something. And yes, it is different when someone's forced to go against their will and go illegally. I think that's what I'm hearing you say, but I think there are other people who are running away from danger and they know that they're going to be in, you know, they're not going to necessarily get citizenship, but whatever they're leaving is way worse than being in a cage at the border. If there's a combination of things happening, and this topic deserves more than 5 minutes, folks. So pause right there. You better come back and see us. Oh yeah. That was a little cliffhanger. Yes, it was. Mr. Talinda, Mr. Vigor, bonjour. You guys, thank you for joining me today. Last thoughts, we got 1 minute. What do you want to say to the people to have them come back?
I would say come back and watch the conversation next time, but be critical about everything that you're being shown and that you hear. And have a larger view of the world, you know, learn about how the rest of the world works. Yeah.
Jay, 30 seconds.
Be respectful, be humble, seek to understand before being understood. Recognize everybody has the same rights, so you cannot preach inclusion while you exclude. You must include everybody, and that comes with respect and understanding. Focus on that.
Thanks for being here. The UnUnited State. See you guys soon. Ciao.
Bye.
You're listening to The UnUnited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.